Good morning and welcome to our AA meeting on air on 104.6 Planet FM. My name is Anna, I'm an alcoholic and will be chairing our meeting this morning. Please welcome our speakers today, Amy, Vic and Linda, who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope with you all. Would you all like to help me open the meeting with serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may share their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, political organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Our first speaker with us this morning is Amy. Amy, would you like to share your story with us, please?
Hi, my name's Amy and I'm an alcoholic. Now that I'm looking back on my drinking story, back over the past sort of few decades and how it sort of panned out for me, I often find myself wondering if there would have been periods where there was sort of an obvious off-ramp for me. And as I sort of go through my story, you might sort of recognize some of those and maybe see some of those in your own stories as well. What I mean is, when I started drinking, it was all very innocent. It was just part of my social life, part of my bigger life in general. I didn't start drinking until I was sort of in my late teens. I always enjoyed it as soon as I started. I was quite shy and it sort of helped me in social situations. I could also carry my drink quite well, which I was sort of proud of. And yeah, I looked forward to the socializing and the drinking that came with it that was part of my life. But everything else was all still as normal. As I sort of left school and went into university, my drinking became more, but I sort of put that down to university culture. A lot of my friends were big drinkers and we certainly spent quite a lot of time in the university pub. Again, I sort of put that down to just part of my life, age and stage. I was still studying and working part-time and it was just part of a full package of life. My 20s rolled around, I was still studying and still sort of enjoying a social life, but friends of mine were going off into the workplace and, you know, the life was becoming a little bit more adult. And when I look back now, it's interesting because I really only used to drink once a week then. It was a Friday night. We all looked forward to it. It would be a big night where we'd go out. And then I wouldn't think about drinking until the following Friday. So, you know, my sort of experience with alcoholism, and I'll talk about this more as I sort of continue my story, was that it was a very sort of slow burn and a progressive nature. When I was 27, I moved to London, and that was just such an amazing life experience for me. I moved there with friends, and when we arrived, we just loved it, loved the culture, loved everything about it. It was the first time, I guess, I'd been away from family and was really doing something independent. I got a job in my field, which was art, so you don't earn a huge amount in that field. And so to supplement my income, I also got a job at the local pub at the end of my street, which was like my dream job. And I even remember my boss, when he was sort of showing me the ropes and how to pull the pints, he said very early on, oh, and you always have a drink too. Have whatever you want, keep it here on the side and top it up as you go. And I was like, well, you don't have to tell me twice. And so I was very happy with my life over there. I was working in the field I wanted to. I had this great job at the pub. I was meeting lots of people. And my two flatmates who were friends from back home, they loved it too. It was all the same for them. We couldn't believe that it was perfectly acceptable to spend a rainy Sunday at the pub playing board games by the fire, drinking away. That was just something we'd never encountered, and we just loved the fact that the pubs really were like a second living room. Around that time, I sort of noticed the difference in culture in a negative way too, when I used to bartend on a Thursday night, and I'd watch all the, I thought they were old at the time, but they would have been in their 40s, all the men in their 40s come in after work, line up the bar, stay and have their 5 or 6 pints, talking with each other, showing me photos of their children who were all at home being bathed and put to bed by their mothers. And I really thought that was really different and negative. But I also sort of gave myself the out card that I didn't have kids yet, and of course I would never do anything like that. So I was sort of recognizing sort of the barriers that alcohol sort of put in family lives, but that was still sort of, I view, just like a distant thing in the future for me to have to worry about. So we continued on, had a great time. And then me and one friend in particular, we were single and we really sort of took the drinking to extreme. You know, we were going to different pubs every weekend and just really just the two of us, and it was getting a little bit out of hand, you know, to the point that people were starting to talk about it a bit. And then my friend had a terrible accident where she fell down a long flight of stairs within her apartment complex and nearly died. And I got the call from the hospital in the sort of early hours of the morning, and had to go and see her. And we were away from all of our family, obviously, and it was a real shock and a real wake-up call to both of us. And at that point we decided maybe we should rein things in, and we were going to move back to New Zealand, curb in the drinking, and you know, sort of resume normal lives over here. And so we did that, and that now I know is what we call in the rooms a geographical, and that was my big one, where you think that moving your place and situation and changing your habits will lead to a different outcome, and you know, for us it didn't. We really believed it would, but we came home and things really progressed there for me. All drinking had gone from what could be social to what also could just be done by yourself. And although I had friends here and would go out drinking, I lived by myself, and it was the first time that I could just come home and have drinks, and I realised that that was a fun way to spend an evening too. Things progressed pretty quickly, and I sort of discovered that having a drink before work improved my day. And then I discovered that why wait and sort of be stressed about where my next drink was coming from when I could actually just carry it with me all the time. And from there, things really sunk to new lows, and I was pretty terrified that I was getting out of control. Somehow I found my way to these rooms, and I really resented it when I first stepped in. I couldn't believe that all of the fun times and all of the bad times that I'd had by that stage had come to this, and I was, you know, terrified of what that meant. I now am completely grateful, and I think any alcoholic who manages to find AA is one of the lucky ones. It is a life and death illness, and it's not something I believe you can conquer on your own, nor should you have to. Coming to AA has been a complete blessing that has given me my whole life back, and a peace and a joy that I never thought possible. So if you're out there and you're thinking you may have an issue, I would strongly suggest contacting AA and coming to join our fellowship. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Amy. That was lovely to hear. Our next speaker, Vic, would you like to share with us, please?
Thank you very much. My name is Vic. I'm an alcoholic. And I've always known that I was an alcoholic from the first drink I had at about the age of 15. I was attracted to, excuse me, can it, will you? Not a frog in my throat. I thought this would happen. Can we back up again? Good morning. My name is Vic, and I'm an alcoholic. I've heard it said that we are attracted to those things that make us feel complete, those people that make us feel complete. I always had a feeling, ever since I could remember, in my early years, of being slightly fearful. I couldn't, floating anxiety, I think you'd call it. And all I knew was that the first time I had a drink, about the age of 15, I suddenly had that feeling disappear, and it was amazing. I was extremely thankful and desirous to have more of this magic liquid, which was called alcohol. In the early years, they were pretty good. Well, we had a lot of fun at university, high school. I had a reputation as the high school alcoholic. It was in my yearbook and this and that. And eventually, I got a diploma in alcoholism when I went to university, and a master's degree when I went out into the business financial district of my hometown of San Francisco, California. I loved drinking, and thing was, I didn't want to drink like other people. I wanted other people to drink like me. Well, I'm also a pretty good pretender, an actor, and I could keep up a front, which, to all intents and purposes, seemed to be sufficient enough so I could hold down a good job and earn money, go all through the normal things that people in their 20s and early 30s do, and be contented that as long as I didn't get into big trouble or wind up in jail or anything, my life as an alcoholic would be acceptable to me. You know, what I didn't realize was that I was terribly selfish in that I didn't consider the effect I was having on those around me, people who loved me, my children, my wife, my good friends, and they slowly watched me go basically down the drain. After 4 decades of this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde life, I eventually reached the end of it. I didn't realize when I wound up in an ambulance after just going to the store to buy some alcohol that I was as sick inside as I was inside my head. The doctors at the hospital explained to me, and I had never thought about it, that alcohol was a toxic material, and I was allergic to it. Now, I'd never thought that I was actually allergic to alcohol, but some people are. I guess my father was. He died of alcoholism at the age of 52. Well, in the end, I realized that my willpower alone, it wasn't going to do anything to even if I had the desire to quit, and I did have the desire to quit because the doctor said that if I didn't, I would probably die. They suggested that I come into Alcoholics Anonymous, and I can remember at my first meeting when I walked in, I saw a lot of normal-looking people, just like you'd find on any street or bus or supermarket, and yet they were all alcoholics and they didn't drink. They said to me, Vic, if you want what we have, do what we do. And they were in that particular meeting, they were doing readings. One of the readings was entitled "Happy When We're Free," and I could resonate with what it said. For most normal folks, drinking means release from care, boredom, and worry. It means joyous intimacy with friends and a feeling that life is good. But not so with us in those last heavy days of drinking. The old pleasures were gone. There was an insistent yearning to enjoy life as we once did, and the heartbreaking delusion that some new miracle of control would enable us to do it. There was always one more attempt and one more failure. Well, I'd attempted to stop, realized I couldn't, and knew that the answer might be with these people here. So I did something I seldom do, which was I shut up and listened. And what I heard made me realize that there was a solution, and it was in this program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I needed to get out of myself and extend my interests into other people, genuinely. People who had conquered successfully the alcohol program by taking action and not having a drink one day at a time. That's all they said to me. You only have to not drink one day at a time. And I said, well, what about the first drink, you know? And they said, it's the first drink that lights the fuse, that sets the fire, that takes your brain away, and you have no more judgment or control. And I knew that they were right when they told me that. So the other thing that happened was that after a few years in this fellowship, and I had a sponsor now, they said, get someone that can guide you through the 12-step program. Well, I did, and he very gently and accurately allowed me to do a self-assessment with his own little questions that made me conveniently forget things about myself that I needed to really remember. And this character analysis wasn't anything like what the doctors or psychiatrists or judges or police or anyone else could do. This guy who was taking me through the 12 steps of the AA program had worked through it, and he knew it very well, and he was able to tease out all the things that I hadn't even been aware of about my personality character defects. And I realized that if I wanted to actually become a sober person and stuff like that, I would have to start engaging in service for other people. I realized after a year or so that AA and the people in it had saved my life. Well, what's the payback? The payback is maybe I have learned enough from other people to pass some of this wisdom on to them. And so I became a sponsor of other people. And now, after serving the program in a number of ways, from running meetings at the prison to running Sunday morning meetings and stuff like that, I feel every day that I've sort of contributed my bit to making, as far as alcohol goes, for the people who have a problem with it, not a problem anymore. So I'm extremely grateful to this program and what it's done. It's given me a new life. And at my age, that's something pretty special. Thank you very much.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Vic. That's lovely. Thank you. Our last speaker today is Linda. Linda, would you like to share your story with us, please?
Thank you. My name's Linda and I'm an alcoholic.
Hello.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just, looking further back to start with, I think I had a sort of a normal childhood, but I was nervous and, you know, socially quite shy. So, I sort of struggled getting on with people and, just generally socializing. So when I sort of hit early teenage years, and it was quite young, I thought it was actually very normal to drink. In our house, you know, there was just drink everywhere, and it was very, very normal. Actually, it was almost odd if you didn't drink. But what I gradually realized was, even at a young age, I I drank, you know, I had a couple of drinks, but I instantly felt really good. I felt almost more normal. I gained confidence. I thought I was a bit funny. I thought I looked better when I drank. It's interesting the memories that come up, because when I was learning to drive, I found it really difficult. I was so nervous, you know. And this, I must have been 15. And I struggled. Friends were even saying, oh, you have a go driving my car. And I was so nervous. And I found the solution. I had a couple of drinks and I could drive really well. maybe. But from then on, it was just like, it just felt like this was my solution. I just felt better about everything. I didn't drink a lot as a teenager. Was sort of drugs and that as well. But basically, I struggled with life, I think. I always found everything very hard. My parents separated, and it was difficult. It was emotional. And way back then, I mean, it wasn't sort of encouraged to share your emotions. So, it was like a habit to sort of squish them. But whenever I had a drink, I just felt good. You know, it just helped. When I left home about 18 and went flatting, I felt really good because I thought now I can drink whenever I want to with friends just like me, and, you know, there was no restriction, you know, and I got a job and I basically worked so I could party, you know, go out and have a good time. And in a funny way, that was my goal, just to have a really good time and feel good. And with the drinking, I did. I felt great. I didn't sort of get embarrassed, you know. I didn't mind getting up on the dance floor and dancing if there was nobody else there, because I just had all the confidence in the world. Quite quickly, though, in my early 20s, flatting with other people, being around other people, I did quite quickly start to realise just the feeling I got if I went anywhere, or quite often before I went anywhere, I would get quite anxious. Easy, have a few drinks before you go. And then I'd feel relaxed. I just remember even thinking, you know, I can wear what I like. It doesn't matter if the weather's really cold, a couple of drinks, and I just feel good anyway. It sort of solved a lot of my problems. And I could get on with people. But then I, still early 20s, I'd go out, I'd have a good time. And then, you know, it was normal for things to get a bit blurry and I'd wake up the next day. But what I found slowly after a couple of years was I wasn't going to sleep. People were actually telling me the next day all these things that I'd done, and it was hilarious and it was fun and that was okay. But I realised there was quite a few times when I mentally just wasn't there, and it was a little bit scary. It was, I didn't know what it was called, but I just thought there's something a bit unusual going on here, that I can't remember a single thing. And in the morning, I'd be nervous. I'd wake up. I'd sort of cautiously look around me and think, where am I some of the time? Who are these people? And I would, you know, I'd try to be very cool, and I'd get up and I'd walk outside and vaguely try and find out where I was, and walk home. And it started to occur to me that something was wrong, but I didn't want to go into great details. I just thought, oh, well, this is normal. I'm sure it's normal. Carry on. The big thing, I suppose, happened was my drinking went downhill actually quite fast. It was only in my 20s still. Again, I got my ideal job in a pub, yay, you know, and a lot of the people there were like me, you know, they just drank normally, you know, we'd drink a lot. But my behaviour was getting a little bit out of hand. I was getting very nervous because I did a lot of things in blackout, and I realized quite quickly my behavior was changing. So I knew things were going wrong. I didn't know what to do about it. But I got into a relationship, and I was going to have a baby, and I did. I had my son, and I had in my head, I am not going to drink as a parent, because I grew up with that, and I didn't want that to happen. So I started to stop, and that's actually when things got really difficult. I found it very difficult to stop. I did. I really, what you say, white-knuckled it. But I was incredibly depressed. I had a lot of anger. I found life too hard to cope with, basically. So I'd do the odd splash out and have a drink and then not cope with things. Things got incredibly messy. But a friend, her partner, actually, when I was talking away to them, he came and gave me the big book. And I thought, what's this? And encouraged me to come to some meetings. And I thought, oh, well. But actually, when I went, I emotionally opened up because I realized what my problem was, that I just needed to drink. And without some help, I couldn't stop drinking. So I started to go to meetings. I was very emotional for a long time. But AA actually gave me a way of living, a spiritual way of living. It helped me to look at my past, be open, be honest. My head hasn't changed, but what I've realized is I need to keep doing things to do the AA program so I can keep living a decent life. And life is really good, but I do need to keep doing what's recommended. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Linda. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you again to Amy, Vic and Linda for joining us in the studio today, and to all of you for listening. We are on air each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. here on 104.6 Planet FM. If you or anyone you know is in need of help from AA, please either call on 0800 AA Works, that's 0800 229 6757, that's 0800 229 6757, or visit the AA website www.aa.org.nz, where you can find a raft of information. We do have the SAMO Roundup coming up August 15 to 18. If anybody is interested for a bit of fellowship, some meetings, and some workshops, for more information, you can email samoaroundup@gmail.com. And finally, you can find today's recordings and others on the Planet FM website, www.planetaudio.org.nz, under the program name AA On Air. And finally, can you please join me now in closing this meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Stream it, listen on demand, pod it. Your favourite shows are waiting on planetaudio.org.nz.
Each week, around 3,000 units of blood are required to cover the needs of hospitals throughout New Zealand. Every drop counts. If you're over 16 and weigh more than 50 kilos, you can probably give blood. Go to nzblood.co.nz or call 0800-GIVE-BLOOD to book an appointment. You could save a life on your lunch break.
You can hear our program of the Ageless Wisdom Teachings brought to you by the Auckland Transmission Group on Friday mornings at 9:15. We introduce the world teacher Maitreya and topics chosen from Sheer International magazine. Keep yourself up to date with the emergence and how it's working out in the modern world. Friday morning, at 9:15 on Planet FM 104.6.
Property Matters, proudly brought to you by Barfoot & Thompson.
Join me, Stephen Dallow, each week as I chat with guests across the property investment landscape and answer your questions as landlords and tenants. We're on air Mondays 4:15pm on Planet FM 104.6 or download